You know, I'm gonna pull this down real quick. Today is the 20th anniversary of 9/11. I'm sure each one of us can remember exactly where we were when it all took place. And on the same thing, I think a lot of us have forgotten what 9/11 was, what it was like. So gonna kind of first segment is going to be remembrance. I mean, I've pulled a YouTube video. Taylor's got a little article about 343 and what it means. So here, let's in honor of 9/11, this is from us.
American 11, are you trying to call?
The cockpit is not answering their phone.
Our number one has been staffed and our five has been staffed.
Hey, I'm going to call from Washington. I am in a situation with American 11, a possible hijack.
What's going on, Benny? The crap is erratic again. Problems are erratic. Benny, talk to me. Eddie, are you there? Eddie? Eddie?
A plane just hit the World Trade Center.
What?
It's a 737.
It what?
Like the World Trade Center.
Who are you talking to?
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
United 175, New York. We have some problems over here right now. We might have a hijack over here, two of them.
Yo, this is Ryan. Listen, on an airplane that's been hijacked. If things don't go well, I'm looking good. I just want you to know, I absolutely love you. I want you to do good. I'm so happy to find same to my parents and everybody. And I just totally love you, and I'll see you in the future. Bye, babe.
God, so both towers are now.
Okay, I got an aircraft 6 miles east of the White House.
Hello?
Crystal City, just north of Crystal City.
Just to the north of your tower.
Yeah, stop all departures.
The Pentagon just got hit. Don't put me in that. God damn, I can't protect my NCA.
United 93, that traffic through is 1 o'clock, 12 miles eastbound, 370.
Negative contact, we're looking, United 93.
United 93, Cleveland, if you hear the center right then.
I got that piece to dock, keep remaining to be, we have a ball board.
Tuesday, 9:47 a.m.
Hi, baby. Baby, you have to listen to me carefully. I'm on a plane that's been hijacked. I'm on the plane. I'm calling from the plane. I want to tell you I love you. Please tell my children that I love them very much. And I'm so sorry, baby. I hope to be able to see your face again, baby. I love you. Bye.
456865. We have I believe it is a Boeing 757. Can you see him up there, sir?
That's concurred. It looks like he's rocking his wings.
Roger.
He's rocking back and forth.
We're 56865. I advise you stay away from that aircraft. Go north as fast as you can.
United 93. Have you got information on that yet?
Yeah, he's down.
He's down?
Yes.
When did he land?
He did not land.
Oh, he's down?
Yes.
Down?
Somewhere up northeast of Camp David.
Honestly, I just wanted to let you know I love you, and I'm stuck in this building in New York. There's lots of smoke, and I just wanted you to know that I love you, but what is...
At number 2, World Trade Center, right. Ladies and gentlemen, we're not ready to die, but it's getting bad.
Ma'am, say your prayers.
We're
going to think positive because you got to help each other get off the floor.
I'm
now.
Dying.
Back of war.
So that's what it was like. I'm sure, like I said before, a lot of us remember where we were, what we were doing. And I think a lot of us have forgotten, you know, that not only what happened to us, but that we're Americans. I mean, we're all in this together. Or at least we were at one time. Something for you to think about on this 20th anniversary. It's hard to believe it's been 20 years. Mm-hmm. You weren't even around back then.
No, I wasn't.
Your sister was three. I remember I was at the Sphinx in Traveler's Rest. I stopped to get a biscuit. I rarely ever got to stop to get a biscuit. We had offices in Traveler's Rest at the time, and I was on my way to the office, and I heard the first one, and I pulled in to get a biscuit, and they had the TV in the back room going, and I stood there and watched the second plane hit, and I went home. I just had to be with my family. So, anyway, what'd you have, Taylor?
So, my boyfriend's a firefighter, and there's this hat that he had with the number 343 on it, and I had absolutely no clue what it meant. I thought it was maybe a squad number. I really didn't know, but I looked it up, and there's an article from a volunteer fireman that was working that day. He had just gone in for a shift, and he was talking about in this article how they were covering for all of the rest of the units that were responding to the World Trade Center. And it goes on to talk about what the number 343 means to firefighters that day and today. And it says, ask any firefighter what the number 343 means to them, and you'll get a variety of responses. But they'll all echo the bravery and the selflessness that represents what is best about our nation. 343 is the number of firefighters that never made it out of the World Trade Center. And too many alarms went off that day that are in the breathing apparatuses of those firefighters, that after 20 seconds of not sensing any movement from that firefighter, the alarms go off. And 343 alarms went off that day. And just remember that number today, and don't forget what the sacrifices meant for this country that were made that day.
So that is, you know, 20 years. And back a year or so ago, Lynn Greenwood redid this song with the U.S. Army Air Force Chorus and all. So we're going to let it go out the rest of this segment.
To the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, oh, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston, New York to L.A., where there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say, oh, and I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free, and I won't forget the men who died. There ain't no doubt, I love this land. God bless the USA.
You best stop, or I'm gonna blow your headset up. I will absolutely blow your headset up.
You're having a tough time today.
It's a tough day today. It is. But yeah, we're back. Woods and Water, South Carolina. Hope you're having a good weekend. Thank you for tuning in and listening. And we have
a ton.
Goodness gracious. It's like, yes, the calendar is off the charts this week.
We didn't have, it's just making up for the shows that we really didn't have anything.
Well, not so much that we didn't have much because there wasn't much going on. It's just like fall is here now. Everything is going on.
True. So, did you notice how the weather's been this week?
It's a tease. You see what you bow season opens Wednesday. You see what the temperature is for Wednesday?
90-something.
91 degrees. 91 degrees.
Good thing I'm not a bow hunter.
I'm contemplating not going.
Okay, but I did notice, though, it's like it gets really hot in the afternoon, and then like it's kind of hot-ish in the morning, but then it gets down to like 57 at night.
No, not next week.
Well, not next week.
No, 67 is the low. 67-91. That is not deer hunting. That is not deer hunting weather, people.
Daddy, we live in South Carolina.
I don't care if you like that stuff down in the low country. I do not like it.
What do you expect?
At all.
It was the same last year, too.
Well, it needs to change.
Okay, all right. Let me know. You try that. Let me know how it works for you.
I'm tired of this hot weather. I don't do hot weather.
Yeah.
Dove season opener was nice. Saturday. Weather was great. Sorry you didn't shoot too well.
I used a box of shells for 3 birds.
Yeah.
It's okay. I went into it with a really like...
I'm going to shoot everything.
Yes, because
you were shooting birds 100 yards away. I sat there and watched you shoot a couple. I'm like...
Stop.
Has she got some like radar directed shot shell that I don't know about?
No, because like last season was really good for me, and I hadn't shot
this
the
is,
red
we,
label.
We don't practice.
No,
I don't practice because I just it's just ingrained in me.
We practice for deer season, but we don't practice for dove season because dove season only doesn't last
used
long
to.
For us because we jump right in after opening day pretty much into deer season, and then we're all busy and running Lord knows where. But anywho, so I was pretty confident going in, and I missed the first two that came in, and I was like, okay, I'm just getting warmed up though, like it's fine. Then I missed like the next
12.
And I'm sitting there counting my shells on the ground. I'm like, I used all of those.
Yep.
And then when I finally did, I shot 3 in a row, and I couldn't find them. So
it was a challenging day.
Oh, I made some coyotes very happy.
Yes. Sophie is old and doesn't like the heat either.
Nope.
And I haven't worked with her in 3 years, so she, you know, she gets excited with the shells. And we kept her in the house. I understand she was about to tear the house apart.
Was she?
While we were shooting. She loves the shooting, and she loves being out there, and but she just, you know.
She gets a little overwhelmed.
Yeah, and it gets hot and panting, and anyway, the day was saved when Lee showed up.
Yep.
So my grandson made his first dove hunt. Actually, on the field.
Yeah, he came
on the field, and of course
he had his camo on too.
Yeah, had his little camo onesie on, and, you know. So that was really cool. I will admit that was really really cool to have him there and
kind of complete that day.
I just made the hunting irrelevant. Mm-hmm. It really did. My trusty old humpback gave up on me.
Yep.
And so I had to switch to a gun I haven't shot in 29 years or so, 28 years. Debbie gave me a Browning A20 for my birthday in 1993.
Jeez.
And I have pretty much shot that Browning 20 since then. It pretty much everything that's got feathers on it, except for ducks. I got a Benelli for ducks. And so I had to, my backup gun was a Ted Williams special from Sears.
Sears.
12-gauge pump. Hmm. And, I don't shoot it very well. I mean, I killed 6 with it.
Are we going to talk about how you missed the 2 that got up at the field right now?
No, we're not going to do that. because we essentially switched from a 9.5-pound 12-gauge pump gun to a 5.5-pound Ruger lead label, 20-gauge or 26-inch barrels on it, and I went to jump cup, shoot a couple birds, and it just didn't look good at all.
Okay, I may have really stunk that day, but I did beat my brother-in-law. He had one, and he used two boxes of shells. Yeah. So that's all I needed for the day. That's all I needed.
You know, you have two problems in dove hunting. Well, you could essentially have three.
We could have many problems.
Yeah, well, there's some big ones. The first of all, the tropical storm that went through. You know, it always seems like you have a tropical storm that comes through and just it moves the birds.
We had a good amount of birds last weekend.
Weekend before season opened, I had a bunch of birds. Did not have as many Friday afternoon, evening, but I still had a good many. But only three of us were shooting on like a 7-acre field. Yep. And there were twice as many birds came through, landed, ate, left, never got shot at. and that's a tough. We had some more people that said they were going to come, weren't able to come. But that's the problem. You can have too many people where you're shooting each other, or you can have too few. And we definitely had too few.
Yeah, and I think I had bad luck because you ever heard of it's bad luck that if a dove comes and lands right in front of you to eat? Have you ever heard of that? I think that was my problem was because when
I am 54 years old. I have dove hunted for close to 50, and I have never heard that.
I've heard it.
You're making stuff up now.
No, I'm not.
You are making stuff up.
I'm not, actually. But it came, I got there, I was like 20 minutes, and I was sitting there, and the one comes from behind me from the pine trees and lands right in the clearing in front of me. And I was like, that is not a good sign.
The only bad luck in that is catching a fish on your first cast when you go fishing. That's bad luck.
No.
Yes, that is bad luck. I have never heard anything. No, you're making that up.
No,
I'm totally making that up.
You just don't want to admit you don't know something.
Totally making that up.
Oh. Yeah, right.
Are we done with dove season? No, we're gonna give it a couple more shots this year.
Oh, yeah, we are.
Most people have a field for opening day, Memorial Day, first weekend. You know, that's planted and all that. But starting October the 1st through November the 30th, you can top sow wheat or let's put it grains, because it covers wheat, oats, rye, and a couple others. And this is on the Clemson website for agricultural practices. It's actually through the DNR website. You can get to it through that. You can legally top sow. And I think it's up to like 150 or 200 pounds per acre. As a bona fide agricultural practice of soil erosion control, you know, winter crop, holding crop, that sort of thing. So we're gonna keep our options open and maybe shoot once or twice, because season goes out October 2nd, comes back in November. So sometime November, we're gonna have it at him again.
That whole November shoot, though, that's kind of awkward, because then that's in the middle of deer season too.
Well, it's okay.
It's awkward, though.
It's okay.
It's kind of just like deer, 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 dove, deer. No. You know what I'm saying?
No, it's more like dove, 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 deer. Dove, dove, dove. You'll see a lot more doves than you will deer.
Well, yeah. Well, no. We're going to keep our fingers crossed that does not happen.
Yeah.
Because I need to fill a couple tags this year. Y'all wish me luck, because I struggled.
You did struggle last year. We're trying to help you out a little bit this year.
I'm so excited. We got some exciting things coming up.
Yes, and we got some potentially good deer hunts coming up.
Potentially good.
Don't
worry, I'll see me in the record book one of these days.
Probably not. But anyway, you keep dreaming about that.
I will.
Yeah, just dreams are what life is made of. I wish I had the little ding. You know, the drum thing.
Funny. Uh-huh. Funny. Don't you have something important?
We have a bunch of stuff. Important stuff. Like we talked 10 minutes ago, we have a lot of calendar event stuff.
Yes.
That has kind of backed up on us. So we're going to spend the rest of this segment, probably some of the next segment, going through, because there's a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. So let's get busy. As always, it's brought to you by Visit Anderson and
Grandpa Lanning and Event Center.
For those of you who have put in for the SRS, the Savannah Riverside Deer Control Activities, they have been canceled.
I know. That gummit.
So you will not be going to SRS deer hunting this year. That's okay. It canceled the two fishing tournaments we have down there every year, plus the turkey hunts, plus the hog hunt they were trying to do this year. So that's just gone. Youth and mobility impaired hunts here in South Carolina, age 17 and younger. These are all on the DNR website. March the 26th of 2022 is the raccoon youth website. What is it? Wait a minute. Yeah. September 11th is squirrel, private land only. September 25th is quail, private land only. November 20th is rabbit, private land only. March 5th of 22 is rabbit. It seems odd. Now, this is off the regs. Okay. January 8th, 2022 is the Wildlife Management Area Youth Day. Limit 2 deer. Total tags not required for youth hunters. And then there's just a list of goodness gracious, the lottery hunts for deer. There are selected days in November for the Poinsett Gunnery Range in Sumter County. Select day in November, Watery River Heritage Preserve. Sandy Cooper Wildlife Management Area is October through December. Upstate private land areas in Cherokee, Lawrence, and Spartanburg County. We blew right through that one.
Yeah, we did.
Fance Grove on October the 2nd. Belfast, Moultrie Hunt Unit, Tibwin, Francis Marion Unit. That's a good kids hunt some of my friends helped with. The Manchester State Forest. Bluefield Wildlife Management Areas. A bunch of other stuff, so... Y'all hang on. We'll come back with some deadlines after this break. Hang on. It's a rough Saturday, folks. I'm telling you. For some reason, things just don't look right to me. But anyway, getting back to these youth hunts, there's an adult youth deer and small game hunt at Bonaferry. That's in game zone 3. So you need to look at that game zone specifically for information. Youth only raccoon hunts. October in Darlington County, November in Edgefield County, November in Union County, November in Georgetown County, January 2022 in Orangeburg County, and then January 2020 in Colleton County. You can contact the Department of Natural Resources for information on those. Have a youth hunting championship, raccoon hunting championship, February and March of 2022 at Webb Center. Draw youth turkey hunts. Come in next spring, Santa Cooper, Donnelly, Bonna, Belfast, Watery, Heritage Preserve. And then, of course, the youth waterfowl draw hunts are open. Application process opens September the 1st. So those are at Donnelly, Bonna Ferry, and Clemson. Saturdays during the season. And then there's especially mobility hunts, mobility impaired hunts. That are going to take place, let's see here now if I can get back to this page of it, October the 29th and 30th in the upstate on some private lands in Cherokee, Spartanburg, Union counties, and then November 5th through 6th in Lawrence and Newberry counties on upstate private areas. So, again, all of this is on the DNR website. I'm amazed at the people who hunt in South Carolina who don't know how to navigate the DNR webpage. Now they're going to upgrade that page and supposedly make it easier, but my goodness, it doesn't get much easier than that webpage.
Right.
It's pretty well laid out and all this information is there. So if you hear, if you, you know, you're a youth or a parent and wants to get involved and you heard something here that kind of tweaked your, but you're driving and can't keep up with it, the DNR website, hunting is the tab. Look for the youth hunts. All the information is there. Taylor, you've got some deadline dates for applications, yeah, too. And we missed a couple of these. Sorry about that, folks.
On the same tab with youth hunting, we have youth deer hunt application deadlines. So we missed the September 10th ones. Sorry. We're kind of behind on everything. But the upcoming deadlines are going to be Fance Grove. That's September 14th. And then Points Electronic Combat Range, September 18th.
Ooh.
That's going to be a cool one. Santee Cooper Wildlife Management Area, October 8th. Watery River Heritage Preserve, it's October 1st. And Upstate Private Lands, October 1st. And all of these deadlines, you have to have everything turned in by 5 o'clock on or before that date.
And there again, the application is right there on the website. The Points at Electronic Combat Range is an interesting one. You've been there, Taylor.
I have.
Not on a deer hunt, though.
No, I haven't.
We were watching much larger birds of prey swoop in and shred targets. The Points at Combat Range, and I'm going to take a minute here it used to be a destination travel stop in Sumter County. When it was before 9/11 and a lot of this national security stuff came in, they tell me that bus tours would stop at the Points at Weapons Range and tour it and, you know, be there in case there were any jets coming through. I got to go down there many, many, many times over the years and hang out both in the grandstand down there, up in the tower with the controllers and all. One of the last times we got down there, we were on our way back from the beach, I think.
Yeah.
Or somewhere in Jordan, and we stopped in there, and there was it's one of those dirt roads down there in Wedgefield.
Yeah, I was kind of like,
It just goes through the pine trees forever, and there was a stoplight at the end, a green and red stoplight. And if it was red, you couldn't cross. If it was green, you could cross. And I had the numbers for the tower, and also I just called him as we got close. I said, hey, is there anything going on? He said, yeah, if you can get here in like 20 minutes, we've got some F-16s coming through. And so we made it, green light, got over there. We were going to sit down, but the controllers came out and told us to come on up to the tower. And of course there's a catwalk around the tower.
Me and my little like fifth grade stuff, I was like,
cause they're F-16s coming through. Okay. You're standing there, and of course it's flat.
All right.
Sumter County is flat. So you're elevated. I'm not sure how tall the tower was.
It's above the treetops.
Yeah, you can look down over the treetops. So you'd see the jets come up. They'd come in low. They'd do this pop-up maneuver, roll in from high altitude down. And, of course, you got the zipper effect.
There's no other way. If y'all have never heard that, there is no other way to describe it but a really loud zipper.
And then the pull-out. You know, they do the combat pull-out. They pull up, roll over one direction, roll 360 the other way, and exit to the left on afterburner. And at times you were like on eye level with some of them coming through.
Yeah, I was like, oh, hey, Mr. Pilot.
Yeah.
Hey.
If you're out on the catwalk, you're like almost eye level with the pilot and all. And that was just a really cool experience.
I'll never forget that trip. That was so much fun.
Mom and Jordan were inside the tower because it was too loud outside the tower.
And Dad were like, oh.
Louder, louder, closer, closer, lower, lower. It was put off limits more than a few years ago for everybody. I still got in a couple of times, and then it's pretty much off except for select media, which I'm not one right now. I've lost my contact with the 20th Fighter Wing, but I plan to get that back. So pretty cool. Okay. Anyway, we're not going to get very far, Taylor. Okay, September the 18th, the National Deer Alliance Sandhill Branch is going to have their 2021 banquet at the Chesterfield YMCA, September 18th, 3 to 8. So you can go to the National Deer Alliance, look for events in your area, and get involved and go through. Of course, it's, you know, it's the good food, drinks, friends, raffles, stuff like that.
My turn?
Yes, your turn.
Okay. NWTF is having a Conservation Cup golf tournament on the 20th of September at 8 o'clock at the River Golf Club in North Augusta. You can go find more information on that, and you can contact them at 706-699-4038 or email by C. Omar at NWTF.net.
That's just good. NWTF looks for events in South Carolina. September the 18th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., the Beach Sweep River Sweep, celebrating National Estuaries Week. They're going to have this Fort Johnson Marine Center at the end of Fort Johnson Road in Charleston. They're going to have an event. Join SCDNR during National Estuaries Week for a fun educational event at Fort Johnson campus. We'll start with a marsh cleanup, followed by a tour of the Marine Resources Division. Then we'll explore a small corner of the Charleston Harbor to experience the estuary up close. Participants will learn how to use a seine net, collect organisms that live along the beach. We'll identify these critters and learn how they have adapted to their estuary home. You must RSVP in order to participate. You must be at least 10 years old or older. It does require wading in water approximately 2 feet deep with possible strong currents. All participants must be able to swim or have adult supervision. Wear clothes you can get wet and dirty. Pluff mud is a wonderful thing, but it is filthy, dirty, black, gray, and it smells wonderful.
We love pluff mud.
They canceled the all the individual beach river sweeps this year, which usually take place all over the state, but this is one you can still go down and get involved a little bit. So that's a beach sweep celebrating National Estuaries Week at Fort Johnson.
Tomorrow you're going to want to head over to the local hiker. They're going to be doing a used gear sale and swap, and that's from 12 to 4. You can go on their Facebook page to find more information about that.
Don't you love how we don't keep this in order?
No, we
don't.
We
keep y'all jumping. do not let me missed the thing this time.
This is
okay.
Why I should run the fun little keyboard.
So South Carolina Governor's School for Agriculture down John Della Howe is having an AKC Pointing Breeds Hunt Test and Hunt Test Gunner Seminar. This is going to be September the 18th and 19th. The speaker and instructor is Randy Hall. If you know anything about Randy, he is a trainer, handler, hunting guide, hunt test judge, certified hunter education instructor, and NRA certified student shooting instructor. The combination to Hickory Knob State Park. Go figure that one. That's pretty cool. John Del Howe is in McCormick, South Carolina. The topics: how to prepare for an AKC hunt test rules, aspects of handling a dog in aspects of handling a dog in a hunt test, being a brace mate, do's and don'ts with I can't even pointers needed to be successful. Rules and responsibilities, AK handlers and gunners, how to position your gunners, safety, types of shotgun, types of ammo, shotgun getting and gunning for a hunt test. It's gonna be a good thing. I love bird dogs.
I know, I knew you were gonna say that.
So anyway, that's at John Del Howe. We got more coming up. Let's hit this break. We may get to something substantial this time. We may not. Y'all hang on. More Woods and Water, South Carolina on the other side.
This is our last segment.
This is the last segment.
And all we have done is calendar.
We did the 9/11.
Well, that.
That's important. But yes, we pretty much have burned through 25 minutes and without doing a whole lot.
You know,
I know. We both have stacks of...
five articles?
I have a 14-page thing here we need to discuss. It's time to cut the BS in deer hunting. That one, we need two or three people other for that one. So we're going to hold that off.
Okay.
But yes, let's
finish the calendar.
Let's finish the calendar.
Okay. I'm going to go first. I have three.
Go ahead. I have two.
Low Country Friends of NRA is having an event Saturday, September 18th at the Hilton Garden in Somerville. If you are interested in that, it's going to be at 6 o'clock, by the way. I didn't mention the time. But if you're interested in that, you can contact them at 843-514-4433. Or you can go on their website. The tickets are $55 for a single, a couple is $100, and a table is $400.
The week of September 18th through the 25th is National Estuaries Week. And in South Carolina, we have one. As Tom Mulliken would say, it's the seventh wonder of South Carolina, the Ace Basin, the Ashpoo, Cumbie, and Edisto River Basins. And they're saying in celebration of this, to pick pick somewhere in the Ace Basin along the estuary and go visit. So just so you know, you have Donley Wildlife Management Area, Bear Island Wildlife Management Area, Botany Bay Wildlife Management Area Heritage Preserve, Dungannon Heritage Preserve, St. Helena Sound Heritage Preserve, and Edisto River Wildlife Management Area. Additional resources to help you enjoy these places. They're on the DNR website's map of boat launches. You got the Edisto River Canoe and Kayak Trail. You got the South Carolina Low Country. Partner properties, Edisto Beach State Park, Hunting Island State Park, Ace Basin National Wildlife Refuge, the Edisto Nature Trail, the Historic Ace Trail. And there's some field guides to coastal birds, salt marsh stuff. But yeah, find a WMA near you, make a day of it, experience South Carolina's wild areas for yourself. Be aware that deer season is in the low country. So you may want to wear something bright orange and just be aware that you're sharing it with others who use those public lands.
Yep. Join Artemis, South Carolina in their fireside chat, where they're going to be talking with Ashley Chance about understanding the rut. She's been a part of some research in five states, and she spent 3 years studying mature bucks. That's going to start at 6:30 on September 21st. If y'all are interested and want more information, there's a link on their Facebook page that you can take to register, and that's South Carolina Wildlife
Federation. Yep.
And so if you go, yeah, like I said, if you go to the Facebook
Phoebe
page,
Dalton Harrison
website, you can find the link.
All right. Final one for this week.
Not final one. I have one more.
Okay. Final for me is the South Carolina Chapter of Disabled Outdoorsmen is having their kickoff event. This is the first event to help them get their feet under them, get it off the ground. It is happening Saturday, September 25th from 4 to 8 at Allendale Green in Allendale, South Carolina. It's an Eventbrite item, so you can go to Eventbrite and find it. Bring your appetite and dancing shoes and help us successfully launch this worthy cause. We'll have live music by Solid Country Gold, beer and wine on tap from Comba Keg Columbia, Low Country Boil, and non-seafood options will be available. Try your hand at axe throwing with our friends from Blade and Bull, handmade local craft and art, as well as guided trips will be raffled and auctioned. Again, that's to launch the South Carolina Chapter of Disabled Outdoorsmen.
National Hunting and Fishing Day
is
going to be Saturday, September 25th, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. in Seneca, South Carolina at South Cove County Park. It's all free. There's going to be kayaking, lake fishing, archery, air rifle shooting, fly tying and casting, live wildlife and artifacts, and camo hide and seek, which I wanted to do the first time I went.
When you were a kid.
And I couldn't.
Yes.
It's okay, though. But
kids running all through the woods, faces painted up. I was like, well,
it looked fun.
I'm sure it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. Anyway, where's it going to, what else? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, you're fine. It's going to be a 13th annual upstate celebration of it, so that's pretty cool. But all the activities, all the gear is provided, so you don't got to worry. Just bring yourself. Make sure you're in clothes that you can be active in. Don't show up anything fancy. There's a little history behind it about how Richard Nixon signed the first proclamation of National Hunting and Fishing Day, and you can go read that on the DNR website, which is pretty cool.
And there you go.
Finally,
pretty much the whole show.
Now we can get.
No, now we've only got like 4 or 5 minutes to do anything. What do you have over there?
I have some CWD news.
Let's go ahead. We do not have CWD in South Carolina, but there's news out of Tennessee.
Yeah, so in Henry County, Tennessee, there was a 3.5-year-old doe that was found with looking really thin and some interesting behavior. They took him in for some tests, and they confirmed a case of CWD. Again, we do not have it here. North Carolina has no cases. We don't have any cases, but this is just something to be aware of. They have kind of sectioned off counties close to that as high risk.
Yep.
And for that reason, some of the precautions they've taken is supplemental feeding of wildlife is banned. And they're going to be addressing more of this in their upcoming Wildlife Commission meeting, September 16th and 17th. So y'all may want to just keep updates on that, even though it's not in our state. Just kind of see how they're going about things. Kind of prepare
yourself. Their plan is fairly close to our plan. Yes. If CWD is, I think you would not be able to put corn out, mineral sites, because CWD is transferred through saliva. And I know a lot of people out there rolling their eyes going, have you ever watched a deer? They're social. They lick each other and stuff like that. Yeah, that's all right. You're not going to be able to regulate the activity as a wild animal, mm-hmm. but you can take away our input into it.
Right.
You can, a corn feeder that goes off every day for 4 months in the same place mm-hmm. is a potential spreader for CWD.
Yep.
You take that out, yeah, deer may, they're going to still lick each other. They're still going to feed in a field, and they may or may not eat the same, nip the same end off another plant or something in the woods browsing. But you take that feeding station out of the equation. That's all we can do.
And some of y'all may be thinking, why are we talking about a case in Tennessee when it's not here? Just because if and when this does come to our state, you're not shocked at the precautions we're going to be taking.
That's right. It really bothers me when a story like this comes up. And he wasn't even hunting. Out of Abbeville, South Carolina, September the 6th, a deer hunter has died after an accidental fall in Abbeville County. The Abbeville County Coroner's Office responded to a death on hunting property off Highway 72 on Saturday about 1 o'clock. The victim was identified as 70-year-old.
Oh, wow.
From Taylor, South Carolina. He was just moving stands and wasn't even hunting. And that is why, Taylor, what do we always do?
Wear our harnesses.
And lifelines. Accidents will happen. That's yep. why they're called accidents. But you can, if you are a deer hunter and you are off the ground in a box stand, chances are you're okay. If you're in a ladder stand, a climbing stand, a hang-on stand, an elevated platform, et cetera, you need to be hooked up to a lifeline and wearing a safety harness.
Yep.
You need to do all you can do to be safe. And that is a choice you will make. Jerry Widener at Hunter Safety Systems has given us a $200 gift certificate to be used towards the purchase of a lifeline and a safety harness. We will be doing that giveaway on our Facebook page probably next week. Not this coming week, but the next week. So keep your eyes on that, because that is his job. His company's business is to save lives. Mm-hmm. And if you don't use it all, because they got all sorts of harnesses from like $49 to $160. If you don't use it all on a harness and a safety line, then he's got other stuff you can buy with it. Mm-hmm. So keep your eyes on that. But deer hunters, you've got to be careful and do everything you can, because the definition of a successful deer hunt is coming home mm-hmm. after the hunt.
And that brings me into my last
probably what we have time for this
yeah.
week.
Is a short little before you hunt checklist. Ensure you have all your tags and licenses. Read through the regulations. Determine
and
your
know
location.
Know when your tags are legal too, because with game zones here in South Carolina, doe tags are only good in certain game zones on certain days, after certain days. They're good the whole season in other game zones. So you not only have to have them, you have to know when you can use them.
Yep. Determine where you're hunting. Let somebody know where you're going to be hunting. Drop a pin if you have Find My Friends and all that stuff.
I screenshot Google Maps every time I'm deer hunting. I screenshot. I pull up Google Maps. It pins where I am. I zoom out just enough so where it's not just a mass of trees.
Yep.
There's a reference point of a building or a road or something nearby. I just screenshot that and text that to Debbie.
Yep.
Every time I climb a tree, that when I get settled in and sitting down and ready to hunt, the last thing I do before I put my phone away is do that. And did you hear that? Before you put your phone away,
put it away.
You're in nature for a reason. That's to get away from everything you do near every day in your ordinary life. Put the phone away.
Not only that, you could miss a very big buck.
That's right.
The last two things: clean your firearm or tune your bow. Make sure that thing is ready to go. Make sure you practice with it a little bit before you just jump right in. You don't want to have a misfire or anything like that.
Purchase.
Make sure you've got the right kind of ammo purchased.
That's right. And you've practiced with that ammo. I know there's a little bit of an ammo supply problem has been going on for a while. Make sure, a lot of people are buying ammo they've never used before. Mm-hmm. Make sure you buy it. Make sure you go shoot it enough to be comfortable with it, and then everything is zeroed, because you owe that to the animal.
Yep, you do.
All right. Thanks for tuning in. It was a show. Y'all make time to get out there.
Take the back as much as you can.
Don't forget the camera. See you back here.